Kitchen Rudimental, a series here on Blueprint for Living in which Annie Smithers will investigate the very basics of kitchen craft. Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Annie Smithers, hello.
Hello, Jonathan.
Last time we talked about salt.
Yes, we're going to talk about salt some more now.
More salt.
More salt. Put your arteries at rest.
Now, just to recap, and don't forget you can, of course, find all these kitchen rudimentals on the Blueprint page, RN website, on the ABC Listen app. There's an entire...
There's a back catalogue now.
A cooking compendium for you.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to, this week, preserve some things with salt.
Well, we're going to talk about preserving and the way that salt and sugar and salt and flavourings change food.
This must have been a bit of a breakthrough for somebody many, 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 many millennia ago.
Yeah, millennia.
Who worked out that all that salt actually, kept that piece of fish good for all this time.
Whoever worked it out, for them to actually say this, and it must have spread
they
like wildfire.
They left their piece of cod on the beach one day, you see, and they came back 6 months later.
And it was still good.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. We're probably bloody hungry at that point. But we do, I mean, we forget how much of our food is salted and preserved to some extent. And I suppose the first family of salted things, preserved things, is pork products. So, you know, salt works in an incredible way in the fact that all meat products and, you know, a lot of vegetable products are made up of a certain amount of water. So when you add salt to it, so either you rub it with a dry salt, rub or cure or brine, or you immerse it in a liquid brine, which is dissolved salt suspended in water, is that penetrates the flesh and it starts to change the nature of that flesh.
So we're taking the liquid to some extent out of that flesh. Is that the agent which then starts to help the meat decompose in some way?
It doesn't decompose. It does change the nature of flesh in the sense that it does sort of cook it to a certain extent. But the other thing it does is it preserves it by having a very high salt content means that the parasites and the microorganisms can't live there. So that's the critical point where there's enough salt in there to prevent the microorganisms flourishing, but there is not so much that it becomes inedible. And I think for me, the best example of sort of salt in food and meat and preservation is, say, something like prosciutto. Mm-hmm. So you've got your beautiful pork leg that has been rubbed down. It's hung at various, at various temperature with a salt crust around it, basically. Over the 18-month period it takes to cure, so the salt to penetrate all the way in, is it gets smaller and smaller and smaller because all of that liquid is just sort of, evaporating off. When you slice it, I think a lot of us are familiar with the fact that if you slice it and you buy some sliced prosciutto and you leave it in your fridge for too long, you come back to it and it's got all that, it's dried even further and it's got that salty
bit of a crystal
around it, and that's the salt still coming out and still coming out. So it's an amazing process of preservation to actually get a raw meat product simply dealt with salt that can become something so delicious 18 months later. Then there's all these sort of familiar flavours, so bacon is, pork that has been in either a wet or a dry brine, and then that's left to stabilise and, the equilibrium to, sort itself out, and then that gets hot smoked. So that's a product that's been, brined. Mm. Hams have been brined. Salamis have a much, greater level of salt in them than, say, a pork sausage, because that salt is there to preserve the salami and not to give you salmonella, whereas you don't need that much salt in a fresh sausage. You just need it for seasoning. Then with things like poultry, if you think of what I refer to as chicken shop chicken, is usually a chicken that has either been rubbed with a dry salt or it's been brined, And that seasons the flesh all the way through. So you don't just have salty skin, you have flavour enhancement all the way through the bird.
So dry brining your chicken, that's not an 18-month project. Like
No, dry brining your chicken, dry brining your chicken's nice to do overnight.
Yeah.
Wet brining your chicken is a couple of hours in a bucket, you know, on the bench, pull it out, chuck it in the oven, and you've got a chicken chop chicken. Duck confit. Yeah, we talked about duck and chicken a few weeks ago. So the process of preserving duck legs is to first salt them to draw out some of the excess liquid and to season all the meat so that then you can cook them under duck fat and you've got the dual preservative of an anaerobic environment because you've got something that's cooked in its own fat but something that's had some of the liquid drawn out of it and that fills with...
Okay.
So that's why that can stay in a cellar for months.
And as any reader of the New York Times cooking pages will know, there's an annual huge conversation around Thanksgiving about turkeys. Brining or not to brine.
Well, I think turkeys need to be brined because they're so dry and they're so large. I'm not a turkey lover. No,
they're a tricky beast.
They're not for me, cooking turkeys. Not for me at all. And then there's fish.
Okay.
So, and that's what I'd like to do today.
That's a nice little demonstration.
Is we have some salt here, some flaked salt, that's been mixed with sugar, and it's been you can hear it sort of crinkling and crackling away.
Oh yeah.
It's got some lemon rind in it. It's got some dill in it.
Yep.
And what I'm going to do with this is we're going to do two things, and I've brought one that I prepared earlier for you. One is to put a whole side of ocean trout under a lot of this cure so that it becomes what's known as gravlax, which is then the precursor to what is cold smoked salmon or trout. And the other one that I'm going to show you is I'm going to slice up this other side of ocean trout in nice thin little pieces. So I'm going to slice it all up. And before I lay it on the plate, I'm going to sprinkle some of this cure on it. So sprinkle that on the plate and then lay the trout on top of that plate and then sprinkle some more of the salt on top of it and leave it to sit. So we need a nice sharp knife. So, and I have...
This is the only time my knives get sharp.
I know, you love it when I come to visit. So I've got the half piece of the salmon. I've got my hand flat on the on the piece I'm about to cut, and I'm slicing on a little angle so I get a nice thin slice.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just going to keep slicing that. So we've got these little beautiful slices of ocean trout. Mm-hmm. So they go on the plate that's got the seasoning on it.
All right,
and then I'm going to sprinkle some more of that on there.
That's beautiful. It's got those other bits, the dill, the lemon rind.
Yeah.
And that's clearly going to come through that flesh as well.
And this is something that you can also, that is also very beautiful to do with things like, yeah, the white fish, when you cure them lightly like this, and then little salad or a little sort of lightly cured sashimi type thing. It's just, makes me very happy. So this is our piece of trout that has been cured for 24 hours.
Okay.
Now, if you look at this piece that's left over from me slicing, you can see that it looks like a piece of raw orange fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that sort of, you know, it's sort of not milky, but it's, you know, it's just a raw piece of orange fish. When you look at this piece of the cured one in the side, is it's completely different. It's slightly tacky on the top from the salt drawing out the moisture.
Yep.
It's smaller. You can see that it's shrunk in a bit, and it's a much brighter orange than this one.
Yes.
Now, if I take a piece off this, so I'm just going to cut the end off there, and then we'll cut this bit off. And if I hold it up to the sun, you can actually see that it's a completely different colour and texture, and it's translucent.
Yes, right, yep.
And you can see that's people mean by the fact that salt and sugar have the capacity to cook things. It's lost that sort of raw look, it looks a bit like what a good quality smoked salmon or smoked trout. So even in this last couple of minutes, you can look at this plate of fish that's sitting here, and you can see that the moisture is starting to come out.
Come out through, yeah, the salt.
And you can see that the fish is almost instantaneously changing before our eyes.
How long are you going to leave that for?
I'd leave that for, you know, I've put a fairly heavy sprinkle on it today so that you can see the difference of it. But normally I do a slightly lighter sprinkle and I would leave it for a couple of hours in the fridge.
Right, okay.
And then if I'm very light with it, is I actually use it without rinsing that cure off so that you still get those little crunch from the flake. And I think we talked last time about you get to analysing the shape of your salt crystals. You've gone a little bit too far. Yes. Well, this is where it is actually
That's quite important. Yeah.
Because food,
the mouthfeel,
and the texture of the texture of dishes is very important. Mm. So, with something a bit slippery and cold like this, it's really lovely just to come across that little.
That's sort of reassuring, isn't it? In a way,
that crunch
gives your mouth something to hang on to.
I don't know. It's just such a miraculous ingredient.
This is a revelation. A little bit of fish here is. Puckering up.
It's getting wetter as we speak.
Annie, thank you. Thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure.
And next time we're back, yes, we're talking Christmas.
Oh yes.
Thank you. I said shake, ride and roll. I said shake,
ride and roll. I said shake. Another Kitchen Rudimental, of course, in 2 weeks, and it'll be, well, we're well into the festive season by then. Do you have a festive dining query that you would like to throw to Annie Smithers? This is your chance. Shoot us an email. Blueprint for Living, that's all one word, at your.abc.net.au, or just check out the Blueprint page on the RN website. There's a Contact Us button there. Ask us your seasonal dining query.